Welcome to season 3 of Recipe Club.
Woo! The Andor.
We are here. This is as Dave is promising everybody he speaks to, going to be the best season of anything ever.
That is not hyperbole.
Not just TV shows. I think he's saying this is going to be better than Summer. Summer of 68. This is going to be
better
the best
than
season
Mad Men,
ever.
Better than, you know, the White Lotus, better than Succession, better than Ugly Delicious.
Dave, are you saying best so far or best ever?
Best
like it will
ever.
Never be if as
anything
good again?
Anyone will ever listen to or
forever
watch. It's the best forever.
No pressure.
No pressure.
This is it. The voices you are hearing are coming from myself, Chris Ying, David Chang, and our guest this week, John DeBerry.
JDB.
JDB. This is the show where we just, what do we do? We debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. And this week we're eating barbecue sauce.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Lucasfilm and Disney Plus, presenting an all-new Star Wars series, The Acolyte. Stream the 2-episode premiere June 4th and witness an investigation into a shocking crime spree where secrets will emerge and no one is safe from the truth. The Acolyte, 2-episode premiere, streaming June 4th only on Disney Plus.
John.
Yes.
How you been doing? You caught up recently with another one of our Recipe Club wedgies. You went to Brian Ford's bakery pop-up. How'd that go?
It was awesome. I'm a crazy person, so I got there at like 5 minutes before it opened, and I thought there was going to be like this crazy line, but it was very chill, and so I had time to hang out with Brian, and yeah, it was really delicious. He made these like rolls for this chef from Philly who did this like barbacoa thing, and it was like this soupy sandwich that I'd never eaten before, and it was like this sloppy mess that I really enjoyed.
So,
and he gave me some pastries too as a little bonus, which
so
were
this is
insane.
Like a little Dave Chang Show Recipe Club universes colliding thing. So I think the sandwich he served was a torta ahogada, which is a torta
that sounds about right.
That is like dunked into a consomme, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some kind of like a distant relative of Dave Chang's new favorite sandwich,
pambosa.
The pambazo. The chorizo and potato sandwich that's dunked in guajillo chili. God damn, dunking sandwiches and shit is good.
Yeah, it was good.
When we do a World Cup of XXX, I would say Mexican sandwiches probably the number one seed.
I mean,
Mexico is number one in maybe snacks, sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
candy's pretty good.
Fuck.
Candy slaps.
Mexico's got it going on. Just those, yeah. With just those two sandwiches.
Definitely soda drink, soft drinks, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't give a shit, man. Nobody comes close to the soft drinks.
Japan, maybe.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I'm telling you no.
Fine.
Do you like Japanese soft drinks?
I do. The effervescence is a little bit higher.
That's why I like it.
Yes.
Smaller
bubbles. CC lemon? Yeah. Mm. Kill me. Yeah.
But the range and just sheer vast amount of choices for Mexico.
Mm.
Anyway, we're getting off topic. Not a surprise. If you listen to Recipe Club, it should also be known
what do we
as
talk about?
We talk about things that are not Recipe Club.
It's true. If you've decided to jump in, if you're a new fan of Recipe Club, if you read about us in
if you are flying right now on Delta and you are choosing Delta specifically to listen to us on Spotify Recipe Club, this is for you.
Are there going to be Recipe Club branded Delta planes like on the tail?
Oh, can we wrap a plane?
I think that needs to happen.
Let's put JDB on a tail of a plane. That'd be sick. If you have never listened to the show, the three of us, each cook the same recipe submitted by you, the listener. Then we get together on this podcast and talk about everything that went right and everything that went wrong, our whole processes. And there are a few twists and turns to all that, which we'll get to in a little bit. But This week, we're talking about barbecue sauce. So first of all, John, you selected barbecue sauce as a theme ingredient. You got love in your heart for BBQ?
Honestly, I don't like, it's not like my favorite thing. It's just kind of, it was my last pick of the draft, and of what was left, it was my favorite of those things. And I feel like picking a sauce is kind of a fun thing because it can go in a lot of different ways. It's very like adaptable. Like you could even make a drink out of barbecue sauce. You know, there's.
What might that look like, John?
I once made like a tiki drink out of okonomiyaki sauce that was really good. And because it has like a lot of like fruitiness and like a little bit obviously of umami and like salt. So it actually balances really nicely with like, you know, spirits and other fruity ingredients. So it's like an unexpected secret ingredient for me.
Hmm. Do you feel, Chang, that barbecue sauce is the, is it fall under the category of sweet and sour?
It depends. There's so many kinds of barbecue sauce, mm-hmm. right? Unlike you, Chris, I don't like to pigeonhole things into a box.
I love pigeonholing things into a box. That's one of my favorite things.
The kinds of barbecue sauce are just vast and varied, much like Mexican soda.
The barbecue sauce I think we were talking about today, or at least the barbecue sauce that most listeners thought we were describing, because that's the recipes they sent in, were for the archetypal American Kansas City sweet, dark molasses, mm-hmm. tomato-y barbecue sauce. But this has roots going back to, you know, the Atlantic slave trade. I think that the tradition of sort of vinegar being added and the citrus elements and sweetness and sour comes from Africa, at least in America. But as we were reading up on barbecue sauce globally, I think most people, Harold McGee points to the Chinese chef Yi Yin in 239 BCE as being the progenitor of the sweet and sour tradition, which is why I brought it up. Like, this is the grandfather.
You only say that because you're a progeny of Yi Yin?
Yeah, I am. I am the 16th generation.
The prophecy come fulfilled.
And now I can
finally. The BBQ sauce scion.
Now I can finally ascend to the gates of barbecue sauce heaven now that I've brought it up on this podcast. But the barbecue sauce we're talking about, and you're right, Chang. Actually, we should run through some of the regional American variations on this. You have favorites?
Well, it depends. It really depends on where you're at in America.
Mm-hmm.
America. Sure. Depends on where you're at.
Do you like, for instance, the Carolina sort of mustard-based sauce?
Very tart, vinegary, and pulled pork, mm-hmm. whole hog barbecue. And depends on, I think, the varying of sweetness, or if it has onions, or if it has maybe like celery seed in it. Sometimes I've had. Mm. I'm not a barbecue expert, but I enjoy it. Right? I'm never going to question the barbecue sauce that is of that particular province. You know.
Because a lot of thought goes in. Like you brought it up actually. That sauce, that very vinegary, much thinner consistency, is ideal for the whole hog barbecue, whereas something
you do need it for certain barbecues. The reason why I think barbecue sauce is needed for some, but some people think that you should cook with it. Again, I'm not a barbecue expert. You need that tartness to balance out the fat like a vinaigrette. That is really what it is. It's considered like just the acid, but you're not adding the fat to the to the barbecue sauce, because the fat is the barbecue itself. So you're making an emulsion in your mouth.
You're making the emulsion in your mouth. I'm the kind of person, JDB, I want to know if you're like this too, who emulsion in your mouth, man.
That's what happens.
Mouth emulsion.
Jesus,
get used to it.
Jesus Lord. I know you're not supposed to, in certain parts of the country, in Texas, they sort of eschew the idea of barbecue sauce. You're not supposed to put it on there. That's for heathens and children. That's for people who smoke parliaments and not.
But almost every barbecue place has barbecue sauce on the table.
I want it. I need it. I want a little bit. Just a little bit. I love barbecue sauce, actually. I like, John, if you go to a barbecue restaurant, like a cool, well done barbecue restaurant, do you go sauceless or do you accessorize?
I mean, I can't remember the last time I went to a barbecue restaurant. But I think I'm into sauce. I'm into like mixing and like, you know, the emulsion in your mouth. So I would definitely, like Dave, I would take in whatever the tradition is of the place I was at. If the meat's supposed to speak for itself, then I will, you know, defer to that. But
unlike I like to play around. JDB and I want to be respectful to our guests and show hospitality the other way.
Exactly. I want to pigeonhole them into a box. What about, so as you pointed out, I love to pigeonhole people and be American centric,
typecast them
and be Western centric. What about other international barbecue sauces? You guys have things you like from the rest of the world, things that are thrown onto smoked or grilled meats?
Is Worcestershire sauce barbecue sauce? No.
No. It could be an ingredient in some.
It could be, okay.
Yes.
Or like HP.
I've never had HP. That's what the British people use, right?
Some British stuff, yeah.
But we don't. I think it's
they
like
don't do
Harry
barbecue
Potter
anyway.
Sauce.
So
I don't know. Yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean, like teriyaki.
Oh yeah,
that's not barbecue sauce though.
What is it? What is another like?
I think barbecue sauce is.
Do you think it's uniquely American then?
The only thing I can think of that might be barbecue that's lacquered on beforehand. I mean, people lacquer on sauces as it's roasting, but I don't know of many cultures that add the sauce as you're eating it. Koreans have a gochujang and they have sesame oil and samjang. Japanese might just add wasabi. Literally, that's about it. Chinese.
Would you ever cook? So the interesting thing about barbecue sauce is that it can be both slathered on sort of in cooking and after. Would you ever use samjang in the cooking process or only for as a condiment?
There's certain things, you know, where you could make like a chicken or pork, right? But it's a specific kind. So yes, but no, in my opinion, barbecue is a uniquely American, you know, invention. And when you say American, as you've already alluded to, it's coming from, you know, Africa and sort of slave food.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it's a uniquely American thing, like jazz and baseball, except that, you know, two of those are better than one of those.
Do you, John, you sort of were alluding to this as well, but you're not, you probably haven't bought barbecue sauce recently, I imagine, until this podcast.
No, this is kind of why I picked it, because it was a little bit like out of my depth.
Do you guys have favorite brands?
No, I mean, like, I'm trying to think there are like Asian barbecue sauce, but it's just different. I know there's stuff around the world, and I'm sure that we're missing stuff like chimichurri or something like that, but
right.
It doesn't have the American sauciness element to me, right? The sweetness and the consistency. And so I will tell you that I don't buy American barbecue sauces. I don't, but I will, if I do smoke something, I tend to make I use ketchup, some kind of apple cider or rice wine vinegar, maybe a mint of chili and some red onions and, you know, a smash of garlic. And that would be my and salt or pepper. And that would be it.
So yeah, I think you're getting at something interesting. I think you'll probably get to a little more when we get to your recipe. But the basic idea of barbecue sauce is like pretty fundamental, right?
Well, I don't even think of barbecue sauce. Just use something to balance something out,
right?
You know, it's like, you know, I like balance. I just do. So the only time I probably don't eat balance when eating something fatty is like a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich or something like that, right?
But for the
most part, if you have like a, you know, pork belly or a brisket or any other fashion of a fatty cut of meat, you have something tart and acidic to balance it out. I just think it's just common sense.
Right, which probably explains why it's so popular. So... We got a good number of submissions for barbecue sauce recipes. If you Google barbecue sauce recipe, you get 109 million results. But I think most of those are for, quote unquote, homemade barbecue sauce. And not a lot of them are what to do with barbecue sauce. And we sent John, I think, four recipes. One was Grandpa Irv's barbecue sauce, submitted by Bridget Laro, which was a barbecue sauce recipe that started with two bottles of barbecue sauce. I love it. Cindy Alexander sent in Oklahoma barbecue beans. Minda Serva sent in sweet, spicy chili using barbecue sauce. And Brendan McQueenie sent in grape jelly barbecue cocktail weenies. John, talk us through your thought process in selecting the one you chose.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty much like, if anybody knows me by now, that it was pretty obvious that I'm going to pick the grape jelly recipe because it just sounds so absurd. Mm-hmm. But I actually had like a more philosophical reason for picking it, because I was, you know, cruising the Discord as I do, and there was some discussion about how much of an ingredient needs to be in the recipe in order for it to be like a recipe. Mm-hmm. You know, is it a primary flavor? Is there like a weight percentage? Someone put out like it has to be 33% by weight of the ingredient, otherwise it's not a recipe of that ingredient. So it's taking
Discorders.
I know, it's amazing. I love it. So I was thinking, I had that in mind where I was like looking at these other recipes. They all looked really good. I'm sure that it would be delicious, but I'm like, it's like a, you know, the yield is maybe like 6 or 7 cups of something, but like there's a half cup of barbecue sauce in mm-hmm. it. So it's just sort of like an element of another recipe about something else. Like it's beans or whatever, chili. So I wanted something that was really just, you cannot ignore the barbecue sauce. And so when there was a recipe that called for a cup of barbecue sauce, a cup of grape jelly, and a package of cocktail weenies, I was like, this is it. And it also just sounds disgusting, but also sounds amazing and transcendent. So as soon as I saw that, it was just game over for me.
So as John revealed, what you got?
I just wanted to share with you, I put in the ChatGPT, give me an interesting recipe for using barbecue sauce and grape jelly. And this is the response. From my friend, ChatGPT.
From Chad.
Certainly, exclamation point. One delicious recipe that uses both barbecue sauce and grape jelly is for barbecue grape jelly meatballs.
So basically.
That's this, but with meatballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
ChatGPT. Yeah. Old Chad.
And they're adding parsley, though.
Oh, see, that's where the AI still falls short.
It's a meatball recipe, but you're adding grape jelly.
So this is what John chose. He chose Brendan McQueenie's grape jelly barbecue cocktail weenies. Brendan, the submitter, was adopted from Korea by an Irish family in Manchester, New Hampshire. He grew up with his mom making this recipe for every single family get together and while watching Patriot games.
Go Brady.
I was like, the movie?
Watching the Tom Clancy movie, Patriot Games. No, there's games.
I thought you said the new Tom Brady movie with Jane Fonda in it.
Yeah, 80 for Brady. Is that what it's called?
Did I make that up?
Let me ask you this. I had this.
I'm definitely going to watch that on a Delta flight for sure. I'll cry.
He says, you know, Brendan talks about how this recipe isn't for everybody, about how he loves it. It's very nostalgic for him. Do you think that there's something with the... Oh my God, I'm gonna pigeonhole people in a box again. Does something about the flavor profile of this and the porkiness of this?
Time out. John, can we make an agreement that we're not allowed to say flavor profile anymore? Nobody?
Yeah, I'm into that. Also mouthfeel.
Yeah,
mouthfeel. Let's get rid of that one.
But we should replace mouthfeel with
texture.
Emulsion.
Mouth emulsion. Yeah. When you feel that mouth with that emulsion.
Because you know what? I just think flavor explains flavor profile. Just
flavor
like
is
flavor.
It's just an extra word.
Yeah.
Are you more against racial profiling or flavor profiling?
Flavor.
Do you think that the flavor?
Yeah, that sounds
it does
good
feel
for
better.
You. Good
it does,
for you.
It does feel better. I'm getting better as a human. Taps into some deep Koreanness for Brendan.
And you're really
wow.
I see. That was an example of racial and flavor profiling at the same time, everybody. I did it. You guys can scratch that off your bingo board. The recipe that Brendan sent in has no right to be as good as it is. It's three things. Any barbecue sauce you can find. Sweet Baby Ray's works great, he says. Grape jelly and Little Smokies, which is a trademarked tiny smoked sausage from Hillshire Farms. You throw them all in a crock pot, and that's the recipe. And you let them cook, and then you serve them with toothpicks.
You don't even cook them because they're already cooked. You just have to heat them.
You just have to heat them through. Just heat them through.
I'm adopted from Korea, but I was adopted by an Irish Catholic family in Manchester, New Hampshire. So I really remember this being cooked at, I feel like every group of parents' friends have like those recipes that show up at every single family party or whatever, and ours were like a bread bowl with a dip, and really these cocktail weenies in barbecue sauce, and my mom used to make it all the time. I used to like it. It's like sweet and smoky and kind of weird and funky. It's something that really brings back to my childhood. I think it feels like one of those depression era recipes that came out of people being really poor and just grabbing whatever you can and just throwing stuff in. It's not for everybody, but it's definitely something that I enjoy and something that brings me back to my childhood.
For this very first episode of Recipe Club, we had to do our Wheel of Death spin off camera because whatever. But for those who missed the draft episode, we've introduced a new wrinkle to the face of Recipe Club.
To all those people complaining, why didn't they just do this or that?
Well, we did it.
We did
it. So we have a physical wheel on which there are, I think, 6, 7, 8 different constraints under which...
We have a Wheel of Death that you can land on budget. So anything on budget has to be under $20 or $15.
I think $20.
Vegan, which is self-explanatory. One pot, which hopefully is also self-explanatory. Keto, which is no sugar, no carbs.
No carbs.
Lux, which is...
minimum of $150 spent on the recipe.
What's the max? Isn't a max $150?
No, if there's a max, it wouldn't be lux.
I misunderstood that.
I thought you were trying to spend our house as part of my recipe.
Yeah. I wanted to serve these weenies in a 6-bedroom mansion. So
one with pantry only, so anything that is shelf stable. And under 20 minutes. That's it. Hmm. So if we give us this recipe, like this barbecue recipe, each of us gets a spin on the Wheel of Death. And that is the recipe that we have to interpret with the new thesis given to us.
Yeah. Yes. So
we've merged all season one and season two and all your complaints to give you this season three, the best content you've ever listened to in your life.
The Picard of Recipe Club. Yeah.
Can I say it sort of tailed off for me, John?
No. Do you watch today?
No.
It's good.
Yeah. All right.
It's good.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to get through one episode without talking about Jean-Luc Picard.
Nope.
And to remind us and the listeners, we've brought back scoring so that there's more competition.
Oh, right, the scoring.
And you monsters can get off on watching us argue and hurt each other.
And that's why I'm back.
That's why Dave is so excited. So here's how the scoring is going to work. If you accomplished your task, which is to make this recipe under the constraint that you got on the Wheel of Death, you earn an automatic 10 points. Your fellow hosts and wedgies will be the ones who determine whether or not you accomplish the task accordingly. Then at the end of the episode, we will each have an opportunity. We each have 10 points to distribute to our two other competitors here for cool moves, sick hacks, sick burns, funny things you said. So
just at our discretion.
At your discretion. And you can divvy them up however you like. Cool. And the winner of the episode will be the one of the three of us who earned the most points. And we'll accumulate these points over the season. Dave is very invested in winning.
Wait, so let me ask you on this. So
do we give
I have
points
10
blind?
Points, so 10 points divided between the two of you. So I can give theoretically 9 and 1.
You can give 10 and 0.
10 and 0.
So a perfect score would be a 30. You can earn up to 30 points today.
Got it.
Wait, okay. How? I already have 10.
If you get 10 for accomplishing it, and then John says, you know what? Oh, my God, Dave, you're incredible. Here's all 10 of my points. And I say,
so yeah, I don't,
Dave, you're amazing. 10 points.
I don't have to give all 10, though.
I think you have to distribute all 10.
Yeah.
So how is that?
You can't
30?
Keep them.
Isn't that out of 20?
You get 10 you for accomplishing it and 10 from John and 10 from me, then you will have gotten 30 points today.
All right. But it could theoretically just be like 20 points because it was 5 and 5.
Yeah. Or it could be... John gives you 1 and I give you 3 and you get 14 points.
I'm slow, but I'm starting to understand.
Or you get let's not get ahead of ourselves, Dave.
There's a total of 90 points for that.
You could also get 0. We'll see.
Not the first time in my life.
So, okay, we all made grape jelly barbecue cocktail weenies. John, when did you make your cocktail weenies?
I think it was a couple, like 2 days ago.
Okay, and you've never had this classic dish before 2 days
No.
ago? Okay.
No, I don't even, yeah, the little smokies and the chicken and pork, that was new for me too.
So oh, you don't combo. Like mixed, you don't like
I don't,
mixed
I don't
meats.
Like the Animal Farm.
Yeah, he doesn't like mixing meats. Well, JDB landed on one pot, which I think was pretty fortunate for this one.
I was so psyched.
You had like an 8% chance of getting it, and you landed right on it. So why don't you, I think because your I imagine your take on this recipe was probably the most faithful to the original. You want to talk us through your experience?
Yeah, I mean, when I picked the recipe, I knew that there was like a lot of risk in regards to like what, you know, the wheel of death could give me, because like, you know, one pot, 20 minutes, it's basically just, it's already one of those recipes, but it's like, if you get like Lux or Shelf Stable, like that, you know, can get a little dicey. So I was extremely relieved to get one pot because I wanted an easy one just for the first episode. I wanted to like, just have like a nice one under my belt.
That, can I just say that's slightly surprising to me. I thought you might have been, honestly, I thought you might have been disappointed.
Honestly, I would have been happy with anything. I probably would have convinced myself that the result was the optimal result, no matter what. Keto would have been really hard. Like, what do you get, sugar-free jelly? Like, I don't. So anyway, it would have been tough. There are some hard ones, but I feel like I was very like fortunate because I had to do it quickly too. So it was like a nice time thing.
Nice, the only nice issue, shallow entry back into Recipe Club.
Exactly. Just a nice little beep. The only issue is I didn't have a crock pot, so I just used a Dutch oven. I figured it didn't really matter all that much. It's not like, I don't think the crock pot really did a whole lot for the recipe. And I wanted to be super faithful to the ingredients. So I got Sweet Baby Ray's, I got Smucker's Concord grape jelly, and then I had to track down these Hillshire Farm little smokies from, like, I had to get them like delivered because they didn't have any in my local grocery store. And then
is your local grocery store too nice to have little smokies? Is that
no? I have like a very normal grocery store near me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it was actually to go to the Wegmans in Brooklyn, but the only thing that I found that I modified the recipe was that I thought that the sauce to weenie ratio was a bit out of whack, so I just put two packages of weenies in there, and that sort of balanced it out. And as soon as I tasted the barbecue sauce, like, and thought about it being with the jelly, I was like, oh, this totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because there's like, you know, like there's the acidity, there's the sweetness. Like, I think it taps into this like American kind of derangement that people think that they don't like sweet things. But then when you actually give them things that are not sweet, they don't like them. So mm-hmm. It's like the idea that this is like a too sweet recipe or it sounds gross is false, because it's like, we love all these things together, like the fat, the acidity, like the sugar, the fruitiness, like these are all things that like definitely work well together. So I was not surprised that it ended up being delicious.
This is like, to your point, I think this recipe is like America trying to be honest with itself and saying, exactly, you know what? Let's be real. Barbecue sauce is not sweet enough for you. You gotta add some grape jelly for it to be actually as sweet as you want it to be.
Exactly.
How long, this is the question. How long did you cook the cocktail weenies in the sauce for, and do you think it matters?
I was thinking about some level of possible caramelization, some possible reduction in the sauce too, with just the heat. But I wasn't thinking that it was going to be that significant. I just sort of let it sit for a while, let it bubble, just let it get hot. I think it was really just about the heat, because everything mixed, you know, in 5 seconds anyway. So, and then, yeah, I basically, like, it was part of like dinner. So I just sort of left it on the stove for like, you know, just on low heat for 20 minutes, and then did everything. And I actually served it over roasted cabbage, which was really nice.
Over roasted cabbage.
Wow.
Did you use, so here's the other question. Just to be thorough in our point scoring, it's one pot, one utensil. If we watch a video of you making this, did you use one utensil only?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what other utensil.
I had one wooden spoon. I mean, I used a knife to open the package of weenies. Does that count?
Yeah, it counts. Well, you gotta come on.
Could have used the spoon to do it. Okay,
John, remember that I was very kind to you there.
Thank you. You're always very kind to me. Next time, I'll bite open the package of weenies.
Dave, I know you're very excited to share your story. Do you want to go
next? I thought that was a fabulous rendition of the recipe. Thank you for sharing, John.
Thank you.
This motherfucker wants to.
Whoa! Why with the cursing?
He has said no fewer than 3,000 times, "I better fucking win this recipe club."
Listen, today at the age of whatever I am today, I learned what gaslighting is. From what you just did right there,
you're saying I'm gaslighting
you?
Yes.
Wow.
We're gonna bring in the rest of the Majordomo Media team.
I have to say that is a shocking development.
I hate when you go into this mode. I hate this mode.
Why?
It's just like professional winning mode. It's out of control.
This is very frustrating for me.
It's so entertaining, Chris. Though
it's a little scary that you really want me to lose as badly as you do by assassinating my character.
John. Who is gaslighting whom? Like, let's be real. All right.
Exactly. Mm. Let's be real, Chris. Let's be real.
My reality.
Watch the cursor. We have children listening here.
I feel my reality crumbling under my feet right now.
That's what you're trying to do to me right now.
What if it's me the one gaslighting both of you? You both sound kind of insane.
Very possible. All right. Dave Chang, you landed on what John identified as one of the more difficult constraints on the Wheel of Death. You landed on keto, which means this dish must be made using only ingredients that are allowed on the keto diet. First of all, we know right off the bat, barbecue sauce, a lot of sugar, grape jelly, almost entirely sugar, and Little Smokies. I saw you just looking up the ingredients.
I didn't look it up. I just wanted to make sure I had the photo. I had it. So sugar and I just thought that, listen, I thought it was a great recipe. I love these kinds of family recipes where somebody else might look at it and be like, what the fuck? Why is that a recipe? I was like, well, are you telling me somebody's nostalgia is wrong? And yeah, guess what? Yeah. You're probably thinking that, and you're a terrible person. And when you think about it even more, there's some genius to this recipe, just like there's genius in barbecue sauce, right? Unintentionally, people may not realize it. They're making a balanced emulsion of food in their mouth, right? With fat, sweetness, and acidity. There's only five things you can taste in your palate: salty, sweet, sour, bitter, and
umami.
So you have the sweetness, and yes, while there's sweetness in the barbecue sauce, it's the tanginess that most people are going to resonate with. And clearly you have the salty and the fat and the umami from the sausages. So you have all five. It's like all five Power Rangers together. And it's a very balanced flavor. It's same reason why people like hamburgers and pizza. So on the surface, it may not look as complicated as it seems, but it's a very balanced thing.
Yeah.
So I had to think about that because landing on keto, I was a little worried, and it took me a day or two to come up with a plan. Yeah. But before I do, I wanted to let people know what the ingredients are, because there is on Little Smokies, it goes pork, first ingredient, mechanically separated chicken as the second ingredient. I also want to be mechanically separated.
It brings to mind some like horrible images of chickens being pulled apart by robots.
Water.
Why isn't the pork mechanically separated?
I don't know.
It self separates.
Auto separation.
Hand separated pork.
That's what happens when you get single origin pork. It auto separates.
Fair enough.
Water is the third ingredient. The fourth ingredient is corn syrup.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Fourth ingredient is corn syrup. I'm not on a ketosis diet, right? You're trying to elevate your ketones when you're on keto. And it says most people, I've learned, will eat sausages that are low sugar or not added sugar. But I've seen people eat like chicken apple sausages and stuff like that. But I felt, let's just try to do this where there's no sugar. So keto, my definition is zero sugar.
Okay.
Zero sugar. So this is an interpretation of this with the Wheel of Death constraint of keto. So I was like, no sausages.
You wanted to be above reproach too. You didn't want us to be like, well, there's a little sugar in there.
So that is there. I don't have to tell you the grape jelly has sugar added to it, because that's literally how you make jelly, by adding sugar to it.
I think probably more sugar than grape in grape jelly.
So if you are wondering, what's in grape jelly? It's more sugar than grape.
So you must have been the biggest concern must have been the entire flavor of this dish is sweet.
Not only that, how do I do this dish at all? Because I can't
You can't use literally any of the three ingredients.
And this particular Sweet Baby Ray's has two kinds of sugar in it. It has honey. No, it's three. Excuse me. Honey is the, after water, honey is the second ingredient. Sugar is the fifth ingredient. And then there's another sugar. Brown sugar is the eighth ingredient. So three sugars.
I fucking love America, man.
So like you can't do that. So I was really worried because I didn't want to lose. I mean, if I lose to John, that's okay. Can't lose to Chris. And I wanted to do this recipe justice, right? Because it's a family heirloom, more or less. So I slept on it, and I had a eureka moment.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be finger food. So I translated a toothpick to be finger food. And I looked at thought. I thought about doing maybe I could do Vienna sausages or something like that. But there's no sausage out there that I could do, right? Because even to me, like a sausage that you sort of have to add sugar to sausage. So I even thought about, maybe I'll make it from scratch. But you need an encasing of some sort to eat this as a finger food. To keep it in the spirit of the family recipe,
yes,
it has to be something that is a finger food or toothpick food. So
yes,
an uncased sausage won't work. I thought about doing that. So like that's out. So I was like, okay, what is good about a sausage to me? It's got fat and sugar, and it's something that is finger almost, or fork, or you know, in a bun. So I was like, okay, as an interpretation, I think I just have to take sausages out altogether. But sausages to me almost always being pork, I'm like, what is something that could also be finger? I thought about maybe I could do chicken wings, but you know what? We already have chicken wings on our ingredients for a recipe club.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, what could it be? What could it be? And I just landed on baby back, baby back wings.
Baby back ribs.
Ribs, excuse me.
Mm.
Huh.
Mm.
Right? Because it has finger elements, it has fat. And, you know, I thought about doing pork belly, but I'm like, I don't think pork belly might be, even though you can eat fat, like maybe that's just too much for keto. Again, like, I don't know.
Mm.
But I thought that would be a nice compromise.
Mm-hmm. And naturally with the, and like, baby back ribs, quintessential for barbecue sauce too. Like that makes
And I was thinking about that too. So a finger. So then I'm like, okay, this is what I was going to do. Okay. The grape jelly really threw me for a loop. And I know it sounds like, now after I explain it, it's going to make a lot more sense, but it didn't at the time. And I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how to put grapes. So I looked into grape juice. Almost all grape juice commercially available has like sugar in it, or there's not, but it's like white. And I'm like, do I want to add grape juice? It says jelly, so it still needs that sweetness. You can have the white grape juice that doesn't, but I was like, it's going to make it too loose whatever I add it to, because I know I have to add some kind of tomato thing. So that was really the first challenge, was the grape jelly bit. So I was like, maybe I'll just puree grapes and cook it in there and then add some kind of tomato element.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to just make my own barbecue sauce without sugar. So that's what happened. So I took a can of tomatoes. I fire roasted canned tomatoes, one can. I added about 2 cups of grapes. And I pureed that. And I cooked that down with an onion, garlic powder, a pinch of chili pepper, pinch of cumin, and black pepper, and salt to season. And that was it. And I made it, and I had the vinegar really made it taste like barbecue sauce. But the grapes added just enough of its natural sweetness to make it taste like balanced to me. So I roasted off the ribs in some salt, pepper, and a little of momo.
What kind of grapes did you use?
They were red.
Okay.
Whatever.
Red flavor
red
grapes.
Flavor, yeah. Red grapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been any green, whatever. I cooked that down. So I set aside the sauce, and I roasted it at 350 to 375 for about 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Did you say you added any vinegar to that, or was it
vinegar,
just the
vinegar?
Okay.
I added probably 4 to 5 tablespoons of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
First, I had a little bit of red wine vinegar. I ran out. Then I used rice wine. Cooked that down, and then I took the ribs, so they were about 75% done. You could have definitely cooked through, but you could have eaten it, and it's not the texture that I like, but I was like, you know what? People probably want it to be a little bit closer to fall off the bone without falling off the bone. So I took it to about 90 minutes to 2 hours, and then I took it into a pan and I braised it for about another 30 to 40 minutes in the sauce, and I cooked that down. So it was still, I think, the spirit of the original recipe. And I got to say, it was extremely delicious.
That's good.
It was extremely really delicious. And it didn't, but what was crazy to me, I was like, wait a second. This is what I think. Again, I was not trying to judge this recipe because, like, grape jelly and barbecue sauce. I was trying not to say, like, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. It seems simple. It seems basic. But this is the bias that I have that I'm sure all of us have when you look at a recipe like this. But then I was like, you know what? There's genius in this because people do this all the time. Right. When I have added the grapes. I could have added wine. And I didn't. And that's what I'm telling you. Like, you know what? In retrospect, I should have added wine, but it's okay if I didn't. Because many recipes, particularly Italian, add red wine to tomato-based braises, particularly with pork. And they can add sweetness a variety of ways, but that's really what it is. Tomatoes have natural sweetness. The reason I added onions is for sweetness as well.
Yeah.
Right? But I decided intentionally not to roast the onions to increase the sweetness, right? Mm. I didn't want it to taste overly sweet. But there's ways you could have increased the natural sweetness in this dish without adding any sugar whatsoever. So adding grapes to tomatoes, when you do it, you're going to be like, well, that's weird. It's nothing weird about it. It's just a different form of what people eat all the time. And when I ate the dish, I was like, oh, I didn't make the original dish, but now I know what it tastes like by eating a version based on the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think like we were getting at earlier is the dish you described, if it hadn't come from inspiration of this recipe, makes total sense, right? We all understand basically a kind of sweet and sour, super savory rib. Like, this is a universally, like, to your point, you look at the recipe and say, like, what the hell is going on here? But you zoom out and you think,
really normal.
Makes total sense.
And not only that,
it makes total sense.
You were just saying, oh, it's America, America, America. I was like, no, this is Italy. This is China. This is Japan. Mm-hmm. This is Korea. It's just the same flavor. You want salty. You want umami. You want sourness. The tang. It's all balance. So I think it's a great dish. And I have to say, this combination of me adding grapes to a dish or the flavor of it actually, with that slight barbecue sauce element without it being super sweet. So it's like on the borderline of, does it taste like chili or is it no? Because it has way more vinegar and there's a sweetness. So it actually winds up like, oh, it tastes like a healthy barbecue sauce. I think 100,000% I'm going to make this again.
Hmm. And I bet the tannins from the grape skins are nice too.
The bitterness. You want a little bit of that bitterness. So you have everything there.
Yeah.
It's a totally balanced dish.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
So I landed on Lux.
I'm so excited to hear
you're
what
you're so happy to land on Lux. Too.
I was. That is 100% true. I'm the bougiest motherfucker, and I was so excited this landed on Lux. I was really happy.
I was scared to get that myself.
Well, you're smarter than I am, because I thought about it for 15 seconds, and immediately I fell apart. I thought, what? Like, this is really hard to Luxify this, to spend $150 on something that probably
costs... That's a good name for something, Luxify. That's a good name for a podcast.
It's probably something that,
or a tech company. I think that I was really afraid, this sounds basic, but I was really afraid of fucking the whole thing up. I think you take something super easy and simple, which is little smoked sausages that everybody likes in grape jelly and barbecue sauce, and you try to fancy it, out of 10 times you're going to make it worse. So I was very afraid of making this worse by adding to it, trying to, you know, add things and ingredients that were going to make it worse than the original. And I've had this dish. This is a classic crock pot tailgate party thing. I have a friend who introduced me to this dish. He brings it to every single social gathering, birthday parties and Super Bowl parties and brisses and whatever. So I've had this a lot. And I really like it. So I was super afraid of what I was going to do. I wanted to not screw it up by introducing something that was fancy for fancy's sake. And like Dave, I wanted to stay true to the spirit of it, which is little bite-sized things you just pop in your mouth and just little munchy snacks. So I wanted to stay true to that. So I have this document on my computer of just every possible permutation I could have done. I looked into, you know, changing the ingredients or upgrading them, changing the equipment, changing the method, changing how I serve them, buying a house to serve them in. No, literally, John, my first thought was, I can't make these better, so what if I just buy a really expensive tureen to serve them in? If I just do that? That could be my upgrade. That's the best I can do. And then I thought, that's not going
to be. I think it has to be ingredients. It can't be tools.
Yeah, you can't just, So yeah. I thought about, from the sausage angle, I thought, okay, this is an obvious place to spend a little bit more money. Little Smokies are probably what, John, like $6?
$5.
$5 a pack or something. So I was running through all the different kinds of sausages I could use, spend more money on. At one point I thought, what if I just don't use sausage at all and use something that looks the same shape as a sausage, but is way more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally went onto Regalis's website to see what kinds of things on there might work. And it put this image of a morel mushroom in my head, which I'll come back to, because they're very expensive. I eventually said, I can't forego sausage. Sort of the porkiness of this whole thing, the meatiness of this whole thing is essential to it. So I thought, okay, let me go and find like the nicest possible sausage I can get. And there I landed on Peds and Barnett's sells sausages at the Santa Monica Farmers Market and a few other places in LA. Mm. These are like, you know, these kinds of pigs, right? They're slow grown, outdoors, treated really well. They're just like super pampered pigs. You know what I'm talking about? These
Chanel pigs.
These are some Chanel pigs.
They self-mechanically separate.
They're trained in jujitsu. They make a really delicious salt and pepper sausage. It's just super basic seasoning. So I got some of that. And I thought, I'm going to stuff morels with... And they come, you know, the problem with them, they're big sausages. They're full-size sausages. And I wanted, like I said, to maintain the whole hopability of them.
Yeah.
So I quickly realized that Lux, if you land on Lux, unless you're just going to, like, top something with caviar or just add gold leaf, which I looked into, and it's not as expensive as you think. Lux really just means pain in the ass. So I uncased a sausage, put it into a Ziploc bag, cut a little hole in the end, and rehydrated a bunch of dried morels I found and stuffed them one by one.
Wow.
Stuffed them one by one into a morel.
Into a morel. So I stuffed sausage into these morels.
How did you wash the morels?
They were all dried, so I rehydrated all of them in hot water. Which I think was easier than...
Not very Lux. Sorry. Like not Lux at all.
It looks very nice.
Not very Lux.
They are way cheaper than fresh morels, but I also think stuffing the fresh ones would have been way harder for me. So then I started thinking about barbecue sauce.
I also disagree with you on that statement. Having done this dish many, many times, I think I disagree with you.
So
he's so mad at me right now.
Just let me get through my shit. So then I started thinking about barbecue sauce, and I just, my first thing was, okay, I'll just go buy the most expensive barbecue sauce. So I went to Whole Foods and, you know, I found two barbecue sauces. One was this like from some company that is all about living active culture vinegars and, you know, has like a very neon minimalist sans serif font design. Fucking things were on sale. So it was like $7. So that didn't take me anywhere I needed to go. So I thought, okay, I've got to make my own barbecue sauce. And rather than just sort of making a, you know, American barbecue sauce, I thought, okay, what is another sauce that people kind of pay, like slather onto meat before you grill it or smoke it or whatever? And Japanese tare is always referred to as kind of Japanese version of barbecue sauce. So I made a fucking tare. I went out and I bought some chicken backs. I put them in my air fryer to like super dark, deep brown them. Crushed them up into a pan with mirin and some expensive sake I had laying around. And I bought some smoked soy sauce because somebody's barrel-aged soy sauce sold out too quickly. I couldn't get any.
Sold out in an hour. Not my fault.
Somebody, if you buy it on eBay for a lot of money, does it count?
Exactly. If I can just buy some Momo soy on the aftermarket.
It's a great market.
And I cooked that down until it was a nice barbecue sauce consistency. I added some fancy, for my grape jelly element, I bought some tiny containers of like Muscat grape jelly from Spain and added that in there. And that was my sauce. And it was pretty good. Pretty good. So now I've got a sauce. I've got my little sausages. And I realized sort of the other element that that I was missing here. John has used the actual little smoky sausages, which I assume are either smoked or have liquid smoke in them. Chang used fire roasted tomatoes. I think it has like that smoky element too. I didn't have a smoky element here.
Right.
So I decided to grill my little fuckers over Binchotan.
Nice.
So I bought a little ceramic Binchotan water grill, bought some Binchotan charcoal, and grilled these little fuckers four at a time because the grill I bought was literally the size of a compact disc. It was the size of a Blu-ray. It was so tiny. And I've never, this is where things like started to fall apart. The sauce was really, really, really delicious. I was really happy with my stuffed morels, even though Dave is shitting on them. And I've never grilled over Binchotan actually. And I did not let them. I lit them on my stove, like two little logs. And I probably needed to let them sit for another 10 minutes before they were like fully lit. So I lit the Binchotan. I put them in a little grill. And then I just four morels at a time and just furiously blowing and fanning this charcoal for like 20 minutes to keep it lit. I grilled four of these at a time. And, I gotta say, they were extraordinarily delicious. They were very, very, very good. I stuffed 30 morels, and I was not about to grill all of them four at a time. So I threw like a big batch of them under the broiler in the toaster oven just to kind of speed things along. I made 30. This took me 3 hours.
5 days.
It took me 5 days to make this. My daughter ate half of one, and then my wife and I ate all of the rest of them last night for dinner.
Nice.
So it was a huge, huge, huge pain in the ass. My wife was like, was it worth the time? Because they're really good. She was super into these. I cannot say this is worth the amount of effort I put into it. It was so much work, but I felt really like I had stuck to the spirit of the mission here. Because I can just like, I just kept popping them in my mouth as one would do with the little smokies. It was sweet and fruity and smoky. And, you know, I feel like I did a pretty decent job of this one.
Do you want to know what I would have done for Lux?
What would you have done?
I would have gotten a pretty expensive bottle of wine and just made jelly out of it and then called it a day.
Yeah. So so Chang actually had this very good idea. He did bring up to me in the office. He said, could have just braised sausages in a fancy, right. fancy ass bottle of wine, which would have been really, really delicious.
Really fun.
I literally, I had every intention of braising them first and then grilling them. But I had gone to 4 stores already in one day and hadn't bought a bottle of
Chris
wine.
Chris left work at like 11 a.m. yesterday. I was like, where are you going? He's like, I didn't cook it yet. I was like, oh, we have all this other shit to do.
I spent all day on this fucking thing. So actually, from an opportunity and salary cost of wasted hours of my life and work,
yeah,
this is a very expensive
inexpensive for Majordomo Media.
Yeah, this costs Majordomo Media a lot of money.
Can I say, now that we've done all of these renditions, I have two things to add to our first recipe club of season 3. When we give in the points, I think we need to send it to the Gabby or someone in the production. What are
it has to be blind.
Blind. So we send it. Yes. Let's text over the numbers.
Okay.
So we're not influencing. The yeah. other thing, though, I think we need to do like it's a trial attorney. We need to be able to not necessarily attack, or we can compliment, but say also what you just said, John. Things you could have, we think, done differently to someone else's recipe.
Mm.
Who do you think he wants? Whose recipe do you think he wants
and
to
I'm
talk
saying,
about?
John, since you were given – and I would say, John, if you were – to say the same thing at Yang's, I probably would say what I'm going to tell Yang, right? This is just unbiased because what I'm trying to do is give the best experience to the Recipe Club listener. I'm not trying to hold back or be, prone to collusion like some people have been in the past. John, I think with what the recipe had and the spirit of the the heirloom aspects of this recipe, I don't think you could have done anything differently. And I'm glad that you didn't just go out and buy a frivolous purchase of a one pot. You know, a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't do things that I didn't need. Like, you know, that was just, you just,
I feel
had
like someone in his family made this in a not a crock pot before. So it
had
feels
to have
authentic.
Been. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you use what you have. So that's points for me. And somebody could think, hey, that's not enough. You could have done more. Mm. But I was like, no, you did the assignment as exactly what I was told. So, I mean, I'm not telling you what the score is, but I'm just saying, like, to me, you did exactly what it was. For Chris, I think, you know, almost immediately, John, and I'll let you talk about it too, I'm sure, you already had, like, I would have done this differently if I had Lux. So with Lux, thinking about Chris's story, and this is where I do all this all the time when, you know, a cook, not that I do it anymore, but a cook comes up with a dish and be like, let's edit it. So immediately I thought about the parameters of this dish. Number one, if it was truly Lux at a restaurant, I would not have used dried morels. I would have used fresh morels for sure. I'd probably use dried morels in the farce itself, but maybe I would have used black truffles as well. Black truffles and morels go really well together. Grilled morels, I will say, is not something you see that often. I don't think I've ever had it. I've had sauteed. But braised morels in a beurre fondue, like a butter sauce, you see quite a bit in European kinds of restaurants. So I would have – or even – Japanese. So I would have done a braised morel, or if he didn't have morel, I still think you could have made that farce way lux by adding truffles. That's what I would have done. And in order to save time, if I didn't have morels, because I probably wouldn't, I would have just done the sausage like you've done, but added some kind of other expensive mushrooms or chanterelle or whatever. Something that was in season. Because when I think lux, I'm thinking about something that is extremely seasonal as well, because that adds to the value of the transient ephemeral nature of it all. I would have probably stuffed tofu. I would have made tofu pockets, stuffed it in there so it's a little bit more Chinese or something like that. Or some other vessel, right? And then he was talking about the smoky element. I think all of that sort of makes sense with the tare, the grape jelly. I think what I would have done, though, is braised it in dashi because it's smoked. And that would have prevented from having the grilling aspect. So I would have, you could have done the same thing, but just braised it in dashi and then glazed it, you know, under the
boiler. I feel like a lot of what Chris did was like, you know, there are no mushrooms in the original recipe. So you're kind of like adding an ingredient to justify the expense. Mm-hmm. But like there is kind of a braising element to the original recipe where you're just throwing it all in the crock pot
right.
with all the liquid.
So the reason I... I give him points in my head because he needs a morale as some kind of vessel. So I would have done something that, as a vessel, the reason I would chose tofu is it's a vessel that doesn't taste like anything.
It's neutral.
It's neutral. So that's why, yeah, I'm saying tofu, not because of tofu's sake, but that is also a classic Asian, particularly Chinese way. I could have done yuba. I could have done pockets. I could have done a beggar's purse of it and tied it with chives. With dried tofu or fried tofu or yuba, right? That's actually something I'd put on a menu. You know what I mean? It would be very, very good. Glazed in tare with the grape jelly, braised in dashi. Or and seasoned with maybe a shiro dashi if I couldn't get smoked soy or the momo soy. The smoked element is, if people don't know, katsuobushi is petrified, fermented, and smoked. So that smokiness is super important. It's what I think is the it's like the constant base notes in Japanese food that people may not always realize.
That sounds good.
And you wouldn't have to buy a dish that's – lux doesn't mean be wasteful, you know, and buy something you're never going to use again.
Right.
Rest my case.
I mean, lux 100% means wasteful. That is literally what it means.
No, I think lux means something wonderful. And useful.
Well, I guess it's the difference between wasteful and like having things be like, you know, for the sake of the expense, so, or to like the adds to the actual core kind of identity of the dish.
Well, I don't feel like I need to defend my dish so much. Like, I don't know why I need to defend this to you fuckers.
No.
But first of all, like the smokiness from grilling it was really, really delicious. And so like, I don't, I mean, yeah, I could have braised it in dashi. I don't know that would have been more delicious.
You said that you wanted to grill it to provide the smokiness, not to make it more delicious.
Yeah, it was more delicious.
Well, doesn't the smokiness make it more delicious?
I think it did make it more delicious because I actually had a one-to-one comparison because I put the rest of them in the toaster oven and just did it under a broiler, and they were not as delicious as the grilled.
Because they weren't braised in dashi.
Sure, they weren't braised in dashi, but you're improving upon an idea, like my own ideas, which is fine.
Which I just heard right now for the first time.
it's fine. Obviously, Dave is more afraid of one recipe than the other.
I'm not. Well, I'm saying somebody did their assignment. It's one true. Person did their assignment,
and well, I didn't do my assignment.
Not as well, maybe. Okay. I don't know. We'll find a score. Don't assume my score. You don't know.
I know your scores. Trust me. I think that.
And now I think, Chris, what we should do is have a quick. This is why. Like I should get a high score, like 1 minute.
You mean we're going to skip over the part where other people get to do what you just did, and then you get to defend your recap. Recipe,
and then we send in points.
But where's John's and my opportunity to do what you just did?
Yeah, you can do it right now. No, I'm just like, after this.
All right, do your.
I feel like I gave my comments on Chris's. I think Dave's is also. I think Dave's is like, my issue is like, I don't know. Is it actually keto? Because it's like, because keto is not necessarily only about added sugar. Is it objectively like how much sugar you can consume in a day? So like, what's the sugar content of the grapes and the tomatoes? Like, does that break the keto rule? I actually don't know the answer to that. So that would be my like one thing where it's like, is keto like a absolute number of carbs like per day that you can have? Or is it like, oh, you just can't have anything with added sugar in it? Like you can eat as much grapes as you want or as much tomatoes as you want.
Well, I'm letting you know, I used 2 cups of green, red grapes. I think there was a couple green grapes in there, but they were not the super sweet ice wine. I'm not using like ice wine grapes.
Some truck and bear now sleeping grapes. Yeah.
But totally aware of that, and that's a legitimate point, John.
I thought that I like John serving his over cabbage was a nice little touch. I liked that your problem solving for ratio was just add twice as many sausages. I appreciated that. I think the idea to use grapes while literally low-hanging fruit was very smart. I think the fire-roasted tomatoes, as I pointed out, was a nice way of getting smokiness in there where there was none. Did you cut the ribs into riblets, or did you just use ribs?
I know. I chopped them so they're individual.
So individual baby back ribs. Yeah, I think that maintaining the
finger licking
aspect was very nice. So I appreciated all those parts of your recipes, and that's where I'm going to be distributing my points for. I don't think you need to do a defense of your recipe thing. That was what you already did when you described your recipe.
Yeah.
So let's skip over that part.
I think my F recipe speaks for itself.
We still have some business. So did you guys text your points to
not
Gabby?
Yet, not yet.
Oh, not yet. Oh.
Does anybody have any objections to anybody here receiving the base level 10 points for doing their task?
No.
Okay.
I think we all did the task.
All right. So each of us has earned the 10 points. Dave has submitted his scores. I've submitted my scores. And John has submitted his scores. The next time we see JDB is going to be for his butter episode.
Mm-hmm.
And for which we receive, quite a few different submissions here. We had a butter cake from Catherine Cunningham, a sage stuffing from Julie Joyner, Casey Murphy's peanut butter, sugar, and butter sandwich. And shrimp butter from Sally Taylor. Now, John, ahead of time, you told Gabby and Yuno that you wanted to do sage stuffing from those.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to maybe push back because we did a sage stuffing recipe at the end of last season with Dave Arnold. Do you want to do another stuffing recipe, or do you want to do a different one of those butter ones?
Well, I think it so much depends on what I get on the Wheel of Death.
Well, you're not supposed to know that until after you pick the recipe.
Don't
pitch
no, I know. Things. But I'm saying it's like that's the excitement. The exciting part of it is that it could go off the rails. You know, like a 20-minute. Like that sounds hard.
Mm. I'm a little against another sage stuffing just from an audience perspective. Noelle heard sage stuffing and she was sad.
Don't be influenced, JDB. You be you.
Here's the thing. I like physically don't. I mean, I'm not allergic to shrimp, but I just like. Think they can't eat shrimp, they're just gross to me. Okay. Unfortunately, like it's just, I wish I didn't, but it's they make me gag. The butter sandwich, I feel like it's a kind of a repeat of this what we just did. You know, it's like a little bit like another basic kind of like sort of home style, sort of mildly trashy recipe that sounds delicious. So it's like another kind of simple recipe. And I kind of wanted to do another like savory thing that's sort of a little bit more normal, kind of break the mold of my.
All right, sage stuffing.
Choices.
I'm
the only thing is, like, if someone sends in like a buttercream frosting taco or something, then maybe I'll talk about.
Well, this is a new season and the best season ever. And exactly. If you look at many other food sites, they do how many fucking turkey recipes do they motherfucking have?
It's true. They usually don't put them out in May.
Number one weeknight chicken recipe.
Okay, so sage stuffing to be the next one. The scores
also,
are now in.
I have a sourdough bread recipe, so I'm hoping I can make my own bread for that. So.
Got it. All right. So the scores are in. We've all received 10 points for accomplishing the task. John got 4 points bonus from me and 7 from Dave, giving him a total of 21 points. Dave received 6 points from me and 7 from John for a total of 23 points. And I got 3 from each of you for the last place, 16 points.
Pound, John. We nailed it.
Which makes Dave the winner of this week with 23 points.
I'm honored, but I don't know if I should have won.
I mean, you really bulldozed your way straight to victory there.
I gave you a 7. I couldn't have given him a 2, John.
Chris gave me 4 points.
I know. That's messed up.
Chris, if you didn't want Dave to win, why'd you give him more points than me?
You gave me 3. John, so you mean,
well, I didn't. I mean,
what happened? Why did you give him?
I gave
him
legitimate points.
Why did you give him 4 points?
Did you only score me after you saw my scores for you?
No, I gave you legitimate points that I thought were earned. I'm confused. Did you think I should have given you more points?
I thought he did exactly the task at hand.
Right, which is why he earned the 10, and I was giving extra points for. I think that John was in a tough position this week. Where there wasn't a lot of room for creativity or interesting changes to the recipe.
And they shouldn't be punished for that.
I gave him four points for it. I gave him 4 points for following the recipe. He gave me 3 for stuffing fucking 30 morels by hand.
I would
hate
if you were a teacher in high school. Be like, don't get him as your teacher. Don't ask him for a college recommendation.
Wait, what?
Teacher Yang's a motherfucker. That's what they say.
How am I getting shit on for giving you 6 and him 4 when both of you assholes gave me 3? fuck you guys. Like, you guys played a game. I played fair.
I didn't play a game.
Please. Please, dude.
John
please.
Got a 7.
4.
He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he did
which
it in a wonderful
way. Which is why you get the 10
no,
points.
But he also did it in a matter-of-fact way. I liked his presentation, you know?
All right.
He was very honest.
I see how this season's going to go. This is going to change my scoring from here on out, Dave. Just get ready to get some goose eggs from this guy over here. I see what we're doing here. It's goose egg city over here. You're going to have a fucking goose farm by the time this season's over. Let's spin the wheel now that we're doing stage stuffing.
I can't believe the complainers are, oh, this is going to be a good season. This is great.
Yeah, you guys are the audience would be happy. I'm going to fucking quit. All right, let's spin the wheel. So John is set on sage stuffing, a recipe from Julie Joyner, which, no spoilers, but this recipe has 3 cups of butter in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's also why it's important.
I want pantry. I want under 20 minutes. That's what I want every day, every time.
Under 20 minutes is terrible.
So this is going to be John's spin. I'm going to spin this. Hold on. Let me turn the wheel on for our visual effect here.
I want 20 minutes.
How do you make bread in 20 minutes? The recipe calls for homemade bread.
You buy shelf-stable bread.
Make bread.
I guess you could do unleavened bread.
No, I can make bread in 20 minutes. It'd be a flatbread.
Like a flatbread, yeah, fair enough.
Pizza.
Right, exactly.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to try not to ruin this office anymore. This is John's spin, okay? This is for you, John.
I'm so scared. Oh, Chris is going to spin it? Okay.
Yeah!
What is it?
Under 20 minutes.
Under 20 minutes.
Oh my god.
I used the force.
Oh wow.
I'm gonna spin mine.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. Well, Dave, where do you help me? Cheat?
I do think you're
gonna
cheat.
I'm not even gonna look, motherfuckers. Look.
I think Dave's gonna cheat.
I didn't even look.
I think the wheel is rigged.
You think I'm David Copperfield?
I think you're gonna
get it. Dave has a button that breaks.
Ooh, he landed on Lux.
And sage stuffing?
Sage stuffing.
That's easy.
Lux sage
crush,
stuffing.
Crush,
that's easy.
Crush this.
Oh my god. I really want to avoid vegan. If we land on the same ones, do we want to do that or do we want to split it up?
Let's
re-roll if you get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just want to avoid vegan. Oh fuck me. All right. It's Lux again. I'm going to re-spin. See, I can't avoid Lux.
It's like a compass. It just always points to asshole.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, you got keto.
Wow, I feel like we're screwed. This is the best season ever.
Oh, fuck me.
I hope we all survive
keto
this next episode.
Fuck me.
Oh, this is great.
I'm so excited.
What are you going to do?
Get ready for some delicious jackfruit stuffing, everybody. It's going to be
You can make, listen, you can make
wonderful.
A keto bread.
No, like, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to buy keto bread. It's actually quick, easy.
Get some, like, quinoa flour or some shit. Yeah. You know.
I have to make the bread. You chose a recipe where you have to make bread, John?
Mm-hmm. It says homemade bread.
You're my new fucking guy.
You're going to make...
Although, wait, hold on a second. So the recipe doesn't actually, like, the recipe doesn't have a bread recipe in it. So does the recipe for the bread, is it part of the whole recipe? Or is it just like, you know what I mean? Like, is it like if I make bread outside of this recipe, does it count as the 20 minutes?
Yes.
It has to be the whole thing.
Whole thing in 20
minutes. Even though there's no specified bread recipe in the recipe.
This is where the 10 points matter. Right?
Right.
If you're able to make it happen.
I know.
It's not just like signing your name on the SATs.
Right.
Did you get a 10 on your SATs?
No. Did someone take the SATs for you, dude?
What? I'm the only one here that didn't break 1,000. Did I break 1,000? No, I got like 1,050. 1050. Oh, so it's stupid. John, what did you get? Something very high.
I got like a 1390 or something. I got like 640 on the verbal and like 570 or
just
something.
Just fucking nerd over here got like 1550.
That sounds about right.
What you get?
1520.
Ooh.
He got a 3.
I got a 3. I got a 3 from you fuckers and a 1500 from the College Board. All right. Well, I hope this is making you all happy out here.
This is great. Hurtful... I love this so much. So much pain and suffering.
This is the most hurtful fucking season of Recipe Club ever. So
I'm going to be crying by the end of this next one.
Yeah.
This is great. You got to videotape it or it doesn't count on under 20 minutes the whole thing.
It has to be one take on the video.
One take.
It has to be one video. I'm going to set up a camera. So it's just like one 20 minute take.
I mean, you can practice, you know, but it's got to be one take.
You can practice.
When you make it, it's like that's what counts.
Okay, I might have to practice the bread because it's like a 5 minute bread. Because you have to, that's
all right. So, John will be back in a few weeks to make his under 20 minutes homemade bread, sage stuffing with butter.
King's gonna make one of those egg white loaf breads.
Flax.
It's just a flax bread stuffing. My stuffing is gonna bear the most resemblance to the first Thanksgiving stuffing. It's just gonna be
what is this quick? Is there a quick story on the stuffing that you can share?
Sure. I mean, we should probably do this on the episode where we cover it.
Yeah, but just a teaser.
This recipe is from my Aunt Mary, who lived in a small town in Missouri. She was an excellent cook, called dinner supper, and was the type who would make a pie in the afternoon for a snack for her husband. She was an excellent home-style cook who had 7 sons, and you never wanted to be at the end of that buffet line.
Did she serve the stuffing with anything? Was it just stuffing?
Thanksgiving is not Thanksgiving without this dressing. Basically, everyone who has ever tried it has requested the recipe. It sounds like she does it as a as part of Thanksgiving.
Okay. I think I have to make some Thanksgiving meal then. For Lux.
Do I have to make my whole... But only the budget you spend on the stuffing counts as Lux. Not that you're going to have trouble reaching the budget.
Oh, 1,000% I'm putting foie gras in here.
Yeah, no shit. Okay, so John will be back in a few weeks with his stuffing. We'll see you all. Hopefully some of these wounds will have healed by then.
This season is awesome.
God, there is an inverse proportion between Dave's happiness and my own. But this has been Recipe Club. Give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening to. And cook along with us on the Discord. If you think you can fucking do a Lux weenie cocktail better than me, let's fucking see it.
Oh, we just challenge you. So yeah, do it and beat his ass. Thank you, JDB.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, guys.